Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast with your host, Andrew Keel. This is the podcast where you can get the education you need to invest 100% passively in the highly profitable niche of mobile home parks.
Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Keel, and today I'm going to talk about top risk, meaning buying parks with small lots and small older homes. I'm going to go on a little rant here. I had a conversation with a broker earlier today, and he basically wasn't understanding why I was wanting a 100 basis point cap rate higher for a park with all older, you know, flat and rounded roof homes. And, you know, I was saying, hey, there's potentially going to be higher turnover here, more than likely because of these older homes. And, you know, parks with more pitched roofs, you know, have newer homes, right? Not always have they been maintained the same way, but you can kind of tell, right? When you have a older park kind of run down with a lot of older homes in it that are, you know, 12 foot wide, those are going to have higher turnover. And it's hard to find the perfect tenant for one of those homes. So top risk today is buying mobile home parks with small lots and small older homes. I'm also going to touch on a little bit about zoning issues that I've come across through our acquisitions process and our due diligence and, you know, our ability to not replace homes as they leave or burn down, et cetera, because of, you know, zoning issues. And that's why, you know, due diligence is so, so important. But first up, small homes are less desirable to live in. They're harder to reoccupy and sell. We brought in some park models, for example, which are, you know, kind of like RVs, you know, they're typically in RV parks. We brought in like five or six of those into one of our parks in Illinois, and they're one bedroom, small houses. And they're so hard to sell because you need the perfect avatar, you know, to live in there, right? You need the single older lady that has a fixed income and it's just her and her, you know, little cat, and that's it, right? Which is never the case. There's always like, you know, it's typically a couple or, you know, a couple with kids that want to live in one of these homes. And it's just so hard to sell those smaller homes, you know? So I think there's something to be said about the whole tiny home movement and in bigger markets because of the younger generation, the millennials that want to live in these and they want to be close to the urban core. However, in Midwestern markets where we're looking, you know, smaller homes definitely are harder to sell. I would say probably three times harder, not even two times harder. It's going to take you three times as long to sell a single, you know, park model home than it would a, you know, a two or three bedroom, you know, two bath home. Also, it's harder to find used homes if you're and new homes that fit the size of those smaller lots, right? When you buy an older park that typically had those 12 foot wide, you know, small homes from the 1960s that were on those lots, and then at some point they were brought out and removed, it's so much harder to fill those with new setback requirements and fire code and so forth. So you end up using like the park models or something similar. And again, it's just way harder to sell those. Also, new homes coming from the factories nowadays are 14 to 16 foot wide. They're bigger. They have bigger electrical panels. So the pedestal outside typically needs to be upgraded. So it's just something you need to be aware of when you're buying these types of parks. And you should be able to demand, you know, 100 basis points higher cap rate when you're, you know, negotiating on parks like these than you would, you know, a park that has a more diverse home age and size. But I think typically, you know, the age of the homes matters a lot. A real quick way to kind of analyze that is, hey, a flat roof home is typically from the 1960s, you know, the 12 foot wide flat roof homes. Round roof homes are typically, you know, 1960s, 1970s, and then, you know, 1980s are like the metal on metal, typically with a pitched roof, and then 1990s, more of the vinyl sided shingle roof homes are more most popular, you know, started becoming the most popular in the 90s and then 2000s. And even today, the vinyl shingle, you know, is the most common home being put into parks when you're looking at new inventory. So the average life expectancy of a mobile home, you know, I asked some manufacturers this and they said the life expectancy is only around 50 years. So if you're looking at parks that have these, you know, flat roofs and round roofs from 1970, you know, think about the age of that home and what the life expectancy was. And, you know, I've seen some really immaculate older homes, but I could count, you know, I can count the number of them on my, on one hand. Now, those same vintage, those 1960s, 1970s homes, I can, there's probably been hundreds that I've been inside of that have just been trashed and worn out and needed to be demolished. So the age of the homes matters. This is not something you want to overlook in due diligence. You want to make sure that you drive through the park and do an analysis. And then if you do buy a park with these older homes, you need to have bigger reserve amounts in the bank in case one of these homes goes down, because you're likely going to have to demo it, or the renovation costs are going to be substantial because the sizes are all different and so forth. So, and they're so old that they've been through a lot of wear and tear. So zoning issues, you know, this legal non-conforming use and grandfathered in parks, it's really important to get a zoning certificate from the zoning department wherever you're buying a mobile home park that says, hey, this is zoned to be a mobile home park, or hey, it's legal non-conforming, but it's grandfathered in and can operate as a mobile home park, you know. And then also the second piece of this that we add and we make them add is that, hey, if any homes leave the community, we are able to fill them with new ones. And there's not any restrictions around that. So, you know, we're looking at buying a park right now. There's an age restriction where if a home moves out, we have to bring in homes that are no older than 10 years old. So that is a restriction, because there was at some point city council passed this in their mobile home code that basically said, hey, if there's a mobile home that moves out, we don't want them to bring in more crappy inventory. We only want them to bring in, you know, newer inventory that's no older than 10 years old. So that is a hurdle that you're going to have to be aware of. And then, oh yeah, you know, with a little asterisk, it also says, hey, if the vacant lot stays vacant for 6 months or longer, they will not allow you to bring in a home to fill that vacant lot due to this non-conforming use. And you can fight this. You can hire an attorney. I'm sure some people are more litigious than I am. But whenever I've looked at a scenario like this, it's and talked to an attorney about it, you know, they can't give me a deadline of when I'll be able to get over this hurdle. And the only people that win in litigation is typically the attorneys, you know, with paying them a ton of money. Not always, but I just know that, you know, to fight something without an end in mind just doesn't make sense. And there's a lot of other lower hanging fruit out there, a lot of other mobile home parks that have been mismanaged and need, you know, new capital. So, you know, going after a park that's kind of a ticking time bomb where you would have to fight for your right to fill vacancy when it comes about, just doesn't seem like a good investment, you know, a good use of time, from my opinion. So in conclusion, quick episode today, there is risk in buying older parks that have small lots and smaller homes. They're all smushed together in a very dense capacity. You know, if one of those homes catches fire, the setback requirements were not the same as they are today. And that fire could jump from home to home to home very quickly. So, you know, there is risk there, and it's just important to be aware of that. It's going to be harder to sell those homes, you know, when they do go vacant. If you're going to infill after one of those small homes moves out, you're going to have to do something, you know, to fill one of those lots with like a park model, or to find older home inventory that was, you know, one of those 12-foot wide 1968 or 1972 homes that's in movable condition where, hey, when you put it under jacks and you put it on the axles, it's not just going to fall apart because of the age and because it's past its life expectancy. It's very hard to fill those lots when they go vacant. And I think at the end of the day, what we all want is reliable cash flow, right? Like, we want reliable cash flow, not a ticking time bomb that's losing occupancy year after year. And then it's like twice as hard to fill that vacancy when it does come about. That's not what we're looking for. We want that reliable cash flow with sticky tenants that stay a long time. And in these small, you know, park model or smaller 12-foot wide older homes, we're seeing higher turnover. So I think that is something just to be aware of and brings additional risk to mobile home park investing when you're looking at this. So appreciate you all listening. You know, thank you so much. I hope you like this top risks series, and I hope you got value out of this episode. If you did get value, please leave this episode a 5-star review. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Would you like to see mobile home park value add projects in progress? If so, follow us on Instagram at passive MHP investing for photos and awesome videos from our recent mobile home park acquisitions. Once again, that's @passive MHP investing on Instagram. See you there.